Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, it was Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And ooh, did we have stuff to talk about? Oh, we talked about these wicked women who left their children at home in a bunch of mess. Yes, all the babies were under the age of 10. And they were not being taken care of. Found one by the pool. Thank God no one was found drowning. And they went, well, at least one, went to pay her taxes. What's up with that? How in the world were you out there trying to pay your taxes when your children weren't even taken care of? No, we got to do better than that. We got to do better than that. Oh, and we talked about the little boy in the back of the car, 4 years old, with his one-year-old sibling and the 22-month-old sibling, shot himself in the head with a gun while the two adults sitting in the front were smoking weed. Ooh, you know, we keep talking about this smoking weed thing. Well, you were so busy doing what you do, you didn't even pay attention to the three children in the background of, you know, what's going on? What's going on? Well, the highlight, the two highlight stories was the nun, 80 years old, who got prison time because gambling, your gambling habit, to the tune of $835,000. Yes, you're charged with wire fraud and you're gambling, stealing money from the school as you were the principal, and the tuition fees became your gambling money, and all different types of things you were doing. And how are you squandering money and filtering money through the church, through the school? Who's 80 years old and you're going to face pretty much the last years of your life behind bars for gambling? Oh, and let's not mention the other two California pastors who face up to 20 years in prison, to the tune of $14 million for a loan fraud scheme. Yes, they took out several loans under the guise of fixing up the church. I guess there's a whole lot of doorknobs. And you got caught. Yes. When you didn't pay your loan off. Now, how did you get $14 million in your possession? You took out several loans, and you got caught because you defaulted on the loans. Who does that? Who does that? You mean to tell me you couldn't figure out just pay the loan and stay off the people's radar? Well, at the you know, at the ages of 62 and 67, you're facing up to 20 years in jail. And even if you get out, what is your quality of life going to be like? I don't know. You know, unfortunately, you know, when you think about any of these stories here, nobody thought of the consequences of life. You know, you have the women who left the children at home, two women leaving two sets of children at home, one 7 months pregnant, and, you know, now the children are in the care of Child Protective Services. So they didn't think clearly about, you know, what would happen had someone found out that they weren't taking care of these children. The other set, you know, with the gun, who leaves a gun? I don't understand. You know, we seem to be doing, you know, quite a few stories about this leaving the gun in a car and the children getting a hold of the gun. You know, and for these two people who were sitting in the front seat smoking weed, nobody thought about, you know, well, let's check the car. You know, when we put the gun in the car, did we go back and get the gun before we put the children in the car? And these last two sets, you know, where you are mishandling funds that you have available to you, and you're taking this money and you're using it for your personal use, and how are you representing God? Does anybody think about that? Does anybody even care? Well, it really doesn't seem as though they do care. No one thought about the consequences of life and the consequences of your movements and your decisions. And, you know, I can't imagine, you know, being so deep into your gambling that you thought you were never going to, $835,000. You never thought you were going to get caught. The other ones, $14 million. You know, what did they, when they caught them, what did they have in their possession? Did they have a house? You know, at this point, you don't need a house. You need a mansion. That's what that $14 million, you know, a mansion, yachts, and all kinds of things. And, you know, what, you know, if they didn't spend it on the church, I guess it's kind of good because, like I mentioned yesterday, you know, I don't know how they would handle this, but, you know, we always see on TV, and we do hear that in real life, you know, when they catch all the drug dealers with all their money and all their possessions, you know, they seize all of that stuff. They seize homes. They don't care whose name the home is in. You put it in mama's name, grandmama name. It don't even matter. But they got caught, and they seize all of that stuff. Anything that was linked back to that illegal money. Now, you imagine this stuff is supposedly going for God's business. Man, I don't know. I just don't want to have to minister to people in jail. Nah, I'm sorry. Nah. You know, if God called me to minister, let me just stay on the up and up so that I can minister to people on the outside. No, thank you. I'd rather do my work for the Lord on the outside of the jail. So, I don't know. But that was our Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. So, today is Wild Wednesday. And I am trusting that Vivian's got some stuff, stories, and news to give us today that will definitely send our conversation with the ladies skyrocketing. Now, you know, it's been a few weeks now, but wow, Wednesday is Ladies Day completely here now. Yes, we no longer have our Techie Talk, and we miss our Dwayne, but now we can officially say it's Women's Day. You know, so we have our Men's Day on Friday, our Women's Day on Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to it. So, you know, we're going to take that quick break. And as we take our break, we're going to get that healthy breakfast. We are going to let people know, yes, by text or by phone, that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And we're going to make sure we don't move. Yep, because we'll be right back.
I specifically treat patients with glaucoma. So glaucoma is damage to the nerve in the back of the eye. We used to think that the biggest risk factor was elevated eye pressure, but we found that in about 30% of patients, they actually don't have high eye pressure. It's a silent disease, so it is very important to get yearly eye exams. You usually lose your peripheral vision first, and then it can progress to lose the center of your vision, but people really don't notice that until it's too late. So that's why it's very important that we actually do screening exams to look for glaucoma. So glaucoma tends to run in families, so it, often if I see, say, a mother or father with glaucoma, I make sure that their children get eye exams. It also does tend, we do see it pretty commonly here in the La Crosse area, it does tend to run in certain northern European populations more commonly. And it is a more common disease of the elderly, so age is a definite risk factor.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yes, we're in the middle of the week. God has been so gracious to bring us through the first part of the week. You know, we haven't been together in a couple of weeks. And we're grateful to God that everyone has landed back at its due time in our right frame of mind and healthy. And we want to hear from Vivian with her socially conscious segment. She must be chomping at the bit because we haven't heard from Vivian in a couple of weeks. So let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you?
How are you? I am well, thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Happy to be back.
Oh, good. Happy to hear your voice. What you got for us today?
All right, today on Socially Conscious, let's take a look at those COVID numbers. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California is number one with 168,463 cases. That is a decrease of over 400,000 cases since our last report. Texas is number two with 176,469 cases. That is a decrease of over 200,000 cases since our last report. Florida is number three with 124,425 cases. another decrease of over 200,000 cases since our last report. North Carolina is number four with 95,376 cases. That is an increase of over 60,000 cases since North Carolina was in our top five back in September of last year. And Washington is number five with 73,271 cases. That is an increase of over 66,000 cases since Washington was in our top five back in June of last year. So as you can see, for the most part, the states that were in our top five more consistently are decreasing. But unfortunately, North Carolina and Washington are in our top five, and they've seen some increases. But their numbers are not as high as the other three that have been consistently in our top five. So I think that the numbers are looking a lot better. And while we are on the topic of COVID, there are two very interesting stories about this vaccine mandate being taken too far. The first story is of a man who is being denied a heart transplant because he refuses to get a COVID vaccine. So 31-year-old Dr. Ferguson, who is a father of two and one on the way, has been removed from the heart transplant list in a Boston hospital, again, because he is refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Reports say that Dr. Ferguson was first on the list to receive the transplant, but he is no longer eligible because of his vaccination status. His family says he refuses to get the vaccine because he doesn't believe in it. A spokesperson at the hospital says, quote, "We do everything we can to ensure that a patient who receives a transplanted organ has the greatest chance of survival. The hospital's policy requiring recipients to have the COVID-19 shot is in line with many other transplant programs across the U.S., end quote. Dr. Ferguson's family is thinking about relocating him to a different hospital that doesn't have the vaccine policy, which is hard for them to do because a lot of these places do have it, especially when it comes to people on the transplant list. But they are afraid that he is already too weak to be moved. They're saying that the force behind the vaccine policy is because studies show transplanted patients are more likely to die if they contract COVID-19. In my opinion, this is definitely a tricky situation. I can honestly see why the hospital wouldn't want to give him the heart. God forbid he contracts COVID and then dies, and they pretty much wasted the heart. But definitely a tricky situation. The next one involves a father and his children. Reports are saying that an unvaccinated father in New Brunswick, Canada, lost custody of his three children because he refuses to get the vaccine. They say the father went to court and presented research to the judge that he believed questioned the safety and effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine, but the judge ruled against him. So the order allows the father to interact with his children only on Zoom, and the courts are saying that the judge will reevaluate the sentencing if the father does decide to get vaccinated. The judge is also saying that the mother of the children can overrule his lack of parental consent to get their children vaccinated. The article says that the parents had separated back in 2019 and that they shared custody of the three children. But last year, the mother asked to have the custody agreement changed because the father and his new wife refused to be vaccinated. I guess in her defense, one of the children has tumors, and thus that child is immunocompromised. But this is definitely, it seems like they're taking this to the extreme. To take the man's rights away and only allow him to be able to interact with his kids via Zoom seems a little bit too much. And crazily enough, this is not the only story of a parent losing their rights because of their decision to be vaccinated or not. A report says back in August of 2021, a judge in Chicago barred a mother from seeing her 11-year-old son because she was unvaccinated against COVID. And I, like I said, I definitely think this is taking things too far when it comes to this vaccine. There's definitely ways to keep these immunocompromised children safe or children in general safe. And if they have an option to, you know, go stay with mom or dad as an alternative, I think that you can still allow them to be around the children, just have them wear a mask or something. That's just taking things too far. So now for a sort of update on a story that we told here some time ago. We heard about Cuomo resigning as mayor for sexual assault allegations that he was found guilty of, and most of the lawsuits filed against him have been either dismissed or withdrawn. So in my opinion, he's been found guilty but let off with little to no consequences. And now he's saying that he is seriously considering coming back to politics. Reports say that there is no timeline in place or specific details on how he plans to come back, but that he holds more than $16 million in campaign funds to his name. And again, because charges against him were dropped or dismissed, and the fact that he was not formally impeached, this leaves room for him to be able to come back into politics in one way or another. They're not saying how, but he is seriously considering it. He's been talking to certain people about his comeback, and there's really nothing that we can do about it. I mean, of course, we cannot vote for him, but just the simple fact that he's even being allowed to come back is just ridiculous to me. So now we have some local news. Reports show that crime is up 60% citywide in just the past week alone compared to the same time last year. Reports are showing that the biggest spikes come in with car thefts, with 255 car thefts being reported compared to the 118 back in 2021. Grand larceny went up more than 93%, with 908 grand larceny reports being reported compared to 570 from the same time last year. Transit crimes increased 89%. And worst of all, in my opinion, the number of rapes reported has increased 67% this year compared to the same time last year. And mind you, we are only 5 weeks and 4 days into the new year, and we're seeing these types of numbers. Definitely sad. And now for our wow story of the week. Reports say that the Biden administration is reportedly finalizing a $30 million program to give out crack pipes to drug addicts. So the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is providing grants for programs that hand out crack pipes. This is reportedly part of the, quote, harm reduction plan, end quote. And just for some background, the harm reduction plan is a proactive and evidence-based approach to reduce the negative personal and public health impacts on behavior associated with alcohol and other substance use at both the individual and community levels. It is an approach to addressing substance use disorders through prevention, treatment, and recovery, where individuals who use substances set their own goals, and they're saying that this is a way to, quote, meet people where they are, end quote, in hopes of helping them get clean. So they are saying that this $30 million program, they're hoping that this will keep drug users safe by limiting infection among drug users. They're also saying that the pipes, the crack pipes, would encourage drug users to smoke drugs instead of injecting them, because injections are said to run a higher risk. And I got to say it one more time. $30 million program to hand out crack pipes to drug addicts, and it hopes to get them clean at the end. Just wow. This has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Okay. I'm speechless. I can't even say thank you, Vivian. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. What a way to come back. What a way to come back. Thank you, Vivian. Where do we even start? Oh, my goodness gracious. I think what I want to talk about here is This vaccination issue. You know, we're talking about, okay, so we're in a tricky spot because, you know, there was this big push to vaccinate, and then we got hit with the Omicron, and, you know, even there was such a large amount of people who were vaccinated who did contract the virus. So, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people lost, even a lot of vaccinated people. I was reading an article of how many vaccinated people, you know, lost confidence. Well, they didn't have any idea this Omicron was coming. You know, you don't know how it's going to affect people. You know, even if you see, you know, these variants coming down the line, you really don't see, you have no idea. Only God knows any of this stuff, you know. So a lot of people who were vaccinated did get this COVID somehow, some way. And now, you know, this is the first time I'm hearing. I don't know how many of our listeners or you have heard. I never heard that they were actually denying people procedures or parents visitation because people wouldn't get vaccinated. I don't know. This is a lot to digest. You know, it's one thing if you say we can't travel, you say we can't, you know, dine out, you say we can't go to Broadway or, you know, other events and things like that. You know, for those of us who opted not to vaccinate, we just live with it. You know what I'm saying? It's no big deal for me not to be able to go out or whatever. You know, we spent the whole year where whether you were vaccinated or not, you just couldn't. They shut everything down. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a person that just didn't get affected like that. You know, some people got cabin fever, Viv, and all this kind of stuff. They had to be out the house. They thought they were going to die. You know, people got depressed. And it really hit, you know, people in a multiple, you know, in multiple ways, you know. But for those of us who opted not to, we just accept it, you know. But when you're now talking about, you know, you don't let parents see their children or now what do you do? You know what I'm saying? You push to put the kids in school because you say that, hey, without being with their friends, you know, they don't interact, and now they go into this frame of mind or this level of depression. So keeping them from their parents is okay? I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it.
Crazy.
I don't get it. We already have enough. Look at the news we bring every day, Viv, where yesterday we talked about the two parents who the dopes left the kids in the house, and the baby was eating the feces, and, you know, the other baby was by the pool. Thank God for the maintenance guy. And, you know, the two that were sitting in the front smoking the weed, and the kid shot themselves. We have enough negligent parents already out here who are just walking off from the children. Now you add, oh, they got to go to school because they're deteriorating, but they can go without seeing parents who want to see their children. Where do you go with this thing? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. What do you think?
I think, like I said, that they are taking this vaccine thing way too far. When it starts hitting parental rights, That's absolutely ridiculous. Like you said, you have fathers who don't want nothing to do with their kids, who don't care what happens to the child, and you got this dad who's going to court fighting for his rights to see the child, and even for the mother herself to even be putting, you know, the system in that position to be able to take his rights away. She's ridiculous, for one. I understand you're concerned about your child's safety and, you know, their immunocompromised and things like that, but to take the children away from the father who wants to be in their life, that's absolutely ridiculous. And for these judges to even have the audacity to do such a thing is just disgusting. Like, why is this so important? Like you said, the vaccine doesn't stop us from being able to spread it. Whether I get the vaccine or not, I can still give my child COVID. You just never know. The vaccine is not protecting us that much that we must get it. So I don't understand how they can possibly be taking this thing this far to be taking children away from parents. That's absolutely disgusting.
I don't know, Vivian. You know, I'm gonna be honest. It seems as though they just had one more thing to add to this vaccine. I'm gonna be honest. It's gotten way too far. Way too far. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is just far from ridiculous. And like I said, you know, you want to talk about, you know, all the things that the children have suffered, all the mental anguish and all this stuff that they're going through because they haven't been able to be out the house. And, you know, you're forcing them into school where how many children have become sick from being around other people who have the COVID, and now you're talking about it's okay to pull them from their parents. So what is that gonna do? What does that do? This is just a mess. This is one big fat mess, and I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna get worse. It's going to get worse. I don't know which way it's going to get worse, Viv, but it's going to get worse. This is going to get worse. When the courts can now find their way into all of this, it's like just some things just don't need to be in court. You know, you talk about all the wasted money fighting over stuff like this. Vivian! Oh, my goodness. This is scary. This is really scary. Thank you so much for just bringing us our socially conscious news.
You're welcome.
That seems to wow us each week. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Ah, where are my ladies? Woo! Let's talk to our ladies of the morning, our women of worship. Let's say good morning to Elder Natisha Moore. Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. It's so good to be back and to hear your voice and to be on with the ladies.
Amen, amen. You know, I was going through some withdrawal as well, and I'm so grateful that you are all back with me today. I'm looking at my little board, and I got all my ladies lined up with me today. So thank you so much for just hanging on in there and coming on back.
Absolutely.
Elder Natisha, Vivian came
back
with a bang. What is going on? What are you attacking this morning?
You know something? I think what jumped out to me is the investment of $30 million.
Woo! Okay, no, we can't go there. We can't go there yet. We can't. You know, there's always one.
Okay.
I hold off, so you're going to have to bite
your tongue on
that one. I'm sorry, I forgot to warn you.
Okay.
I forgot to warn you. The wild one is off the table because we're going to Vivian House on this one. But what about the other ones? What about the other ones?
Okay. So then I guess we can talk about just like, you know, what you talked about, how far we're going with the COVID number, with the COVID, you know, the mandate and, you know, what the how it's being just the way that it's being used now to control,
right.
Because
I think that's
what we're seeing. It's now being used to control and to, to corner people into doing something. And I know from a scientific perspective, right, that COVID is considered an airborne pathogen, meaning that it is a pathogen that can live in the air. So if I sneeze or if it's a droplet or if, you cough and that droplet remains in the air, if a person walks past and inhales the droplet, they can then get COVID. So it's considered an airborne pathogen. So because of that, I guess according to the science is why they would, withhold people from having surgeries and things of that nature. The only problem I have with that is if a person is having surgery, they're being, they're getting anesthesia. They're going to be knocked out. So, what is the fear? What is the concern about exposure in that case? That is what takes it over to just, it turns it into control. Now you just want to control, people into having this. And then it questions why. Why are you cornering us to do this?
Right. You're denying a person. When you're on these transplant lists, Elder and I teach you, these things take time. They've been on for years or, just a lengthy amount of time. And to think that you finally get there. And like you said, when, as a person who's been through several surgeries, there has never been a time where you're going under anesthesia and they don't put that mask over your face. So like you said, that's contained, that air, quote unquote, that airborne is being contained. And you're not saying that he has COVID. Check that out, Elder Natisha. That's not your claim. I don't remember Vivian saying that he had COVID and there was danger.
Right.
So that's
I tell you one thing. I tell you this. I mean, the reason why I made the decision to actually leave the hospital nursing field is because it really has become more about protecting the hospital than patient care. And so when I look at this story, what I hear is, if by chance someone comes in that is not vaccinated and ends up contracting COVID by way of the operating table, that is a lawsuit. They have a lawsuit. If they contract COVID and if now there are complications, if there's a loss of life because, contracting COVID and you're also in a weakened state once you've had any kind of surgery, regardless of what, the focus of surgery is for, that's a lawsuit. And so, again, here we choose to protect the hospital.
To protect the institution.
As opposed to being able to look at it from a humanity perspective. So you're going to choose to protect the hospital over granting this man his quality of life. And that is what I saw in the hospital emerging for years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Good point. But look at all these people, Elder Natisha, that have gone. Remember now, we've gone into a period of time where they're saying the surge of people who have COVID in the hospital are people who contracted it while in the hospital.
Yes.
They didn't come to the hospital with that.
Yes.
They contracted it afterwards. So what are you doing for all of these people? Now, they didn't get, let's say, necessarily surgeries, but what are you doing for these people, to compensate, what they've gone through, or the ones that have lost their life based on the fact that they didn't get it. And again, you go back to this man who's being – so it's just almost like you're double talking. You know what I'm saying? You put yourself in a bad way because you just got finished saying, you know, we don't want to be responsible, but you mm-hmm. are responsible. You
That's
are responsible.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness. This is
yeah.
this is crazy. This is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Now, you, what about this side? You and, you know, you have spoken, the four of us have spoken quite often about the children being without the ability to interact and, you know,
yeah.
To be outside of the home. And now they're controlling, you know, this whole issue with parental visitation mm-hmm. and interaction. What's your thought on that one?
You know what? You're right. We have spoken about it. And I think when we spoke about it, we had all, you know, we were all outraged at the fact that slowly but surely there is an invasion on our children, right? There's an invasion of that separation between the power we have with our children and to govern our children. Like there has been an invasion in that space, a space that was once sacred. The space between a mother and their child, father and their child, was once a sacred thing. It was, you know, parents and God know higher. But now,
right,
we have made it to where the government can stand
yep.
in between a parent
yep.
and their child. And I think this is just another example of us continuing to push the envelope in that area. And if
right,
we do not
right,
speak
right.
out, again, I think it's again, that's why we, and we remember the last time we talked about it from the perspective of the gay agenda and that being discussed
right,
in,
right,
in our schools
right.
without our permission.
Right,
just
right,
entering
right.
into the textbooks and stuff like that without
right.
our permission. So
right.
it started subtle, but it's now continuing, and now it is
yep.
brazen to tell
yep.
me that, oh, you're not vaccinated, you can't see your child. See, you see how it started subtle? It started as a,
yep.
like a little worm,
yep.
and that was a full-fledged
yep.
butterfly. This is
yep.
why we have
yep.
to address things early on. We can't wait until it's outrageous to then try to jump in. We got to address it at the very beginning.
Absolutely,
so
absolutely. Absolutely, because we don't know what kind of wings and tentacles and, you know,
that's right.
Feet this thing is going to get. You know, we think, okay,
mm-hmm.
like you said, it's bad enough it was this. Who would have ever thought that now you would throw up? You know, this vaccination thing is still an option. It's still an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't make everybody get it. So if you've
right.
if it's been left optional, then you got it. Then certain things can't be enforced because now
right.
you don't make it optional. You know,
that's right.
Again, the word that you use is primary hit control, a way to tell
yep.
us what we do,
mm-hmm.
what we can do, what we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And if this
mm-hmm.
ain't a reason why we need Jesus, girl,
my God,
about,
my God,
night, Tisha, if this is
my
not
God.
An indication right now that, you
mm-hmm.
know, we choose God to, you know,
mm-hmm.
get some level of freedom that
yeah.
the world cannot give us, that peace, Elder Natisha, that
mm-hmm.
the world
mm-hmm.
cannot give us, but only Jesus
right.
has to offer. I don't know what else. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Amen.
Thank you
Amen.
So much for joining us this morning. Let's talk to
mm-hmm.
our lady, Tamika, and see what she's got to say. What are you hot about this morning, Lady Tamika? Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you, our ladies, our listeners. I am mad. I'm just going to be honest. I am mad.
What's going on? What are you mad about this morning?
I am so tired of hearing day after day, somebody got shot, somebody got pushed from a train, somebody got raped. Enough already. The crime level, we're in February. You know,
yep,
and
yep.
I've heard crime before, but I mean, daily. It, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, I don't want to hear the news because I don't want to know what else is going on, you know, but you have
right.
to stay informed. Because you don't
right.
know what's going on. It could be right in your own very neighborhood. And it's just crazy. And there's no limit. You know, You can't say, oh, well, it won't happen at the school because it's happening at the school. Oh, well, it won't happen at the train station.
Right.
It's happening at the train station. Oh, it won't happen in my car. It's happening in the car. The child just got shot in the face, you know, sitting with the parents. You know, so, you know, we have to pray. We need God in every avenue. God, I need you. Before I step out of my house, as a matter of fact, while I'm in my house, God, I need you to protect me.
Right.
Because I don't know
what
someone else's agenda is. When I leave my house, there is no guarantee that I'll make it home. There's no guarantee that I'll make it to work. But God, please cover me. Cover me and not just me, but the people that I come in contact with. Because I don't know, that 1 minute that I say, excuse me, might just tick somebody off. And, that, you know, just being nice. You know, there's no telling how your life will, you know, go from this second to the next.
Yep. You know, it's funny, Lady Tamika. It wasn't until when Vivian said, we're only in February. You know, when you, as she was talking and you hear it, crime is up 60% a year and 200 plus car thefts and 90, the grand larceny is up 908. I forgot that it was just February 9th. Not only is it just February, but we just came into February. You know, it's like, when do y'all have time to do all of this? I don't know.
Right, and I'm listening to, you know, she said that, you know, the rate of, you know, rates are going up. You know, and in this day and age, you know, you have your babies, your children. I'm not even going to say just girls, because it's not just girls. You know, but my thing is, you tell your children, say no and blah, 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 and all the things that you were told, you know, and I told you no and you still violated me. And, I mean, my thing is, there are people that are out there that will give you what you want free. You know, you don't have to pay for it.
Right,
realistic. There are people out there that are willing to give you what you need, but it's that desire to have power over me after I told you no that causes a problem. And it's on a rise. I'm just not getting it, Pastor. I don't get it.
I don't either, Lady Tamika. I'm with you. I always said, listen, you know, people out here, they'll give it up instantaneously. We ain't even talking about you got to date them for a couple of minutes. This is stuff that when you see things, you hear stories, and I'm like, wow, that happened so fast. You know, there's no waiting period. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I'm like, oh, already? And you think about the fact that you're out here imposing yourself, you know, stealing someone's dignity and privacy and invading, you know, someone's life and space and choice. And it's like, do you really have to go to jail for that? Because if you met Mary and Mary said, okay, she was throwing caution to the wind just like you, it's free. It's free. There ain't no crime committed. Everybody walk off, whether you got some or you don't. It don't matter because you didn't care. So it's like, big deal. Why put yourself in a space where you're committing a crime in order to get something, like you said, Lady Tamika, that's free? You know, we don't have to do any, listen, very few things need to be stolen in life. And I have learned that, you know. So you're making a very valid, you know, making a very valid point. You know, like you said, even in your home, you know, you got to be, you know, careful. You know, because you could be standing, you know, or sitting at your dinner table, and your bullets come flying through the, you know, through the window.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to worry about being in the wrong place at the wrong time, quote unquote. So I don't know. This crime thing is skyrocketing. It's crazy. And, you know, another reason why you need Jesus. Another reason why you need Jesus. Oh, my, oh, my. Are you done? Are you done ranting, or do you need some more time?
I think I'm done right now. I can't dominate the show, so
Because we still got something to rant about. The two of you ladies still got something to rant about. So let's talk to Pastor Kim and let's see what got her hot under the collar this morning. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, and God bless you all on this beautiful, blessed morning. So glad to be with you all on today. I pray that all is well with everyone and our listeners.
Amen. So happy to have you on with us today. And we got everything you can talk about except for that wild story. But what has you, you know, kind of moving around in that seat this morning?
Oh, shoot. You know I wanted to talk about that.
Mm. Yes, we will. Don't worry.
Look, I'm smoking over here about that. But, you know, just, you know, everything that is taking place right now, you already know where I'm at. When I last
Come on, ladies. We're in our last evil days. Yes,
we are. You know, that's just where we are, you know. And, you know, these are just signs of the times, you know, just, you know, letting us know that God is going to return. And like you said, if we never needed the Lord, we need him now. Right now,
yeah.
Like never before, yep. We really need Jesus, you know, and the handwriting is on the wall, and it's like, how can you see all of these different things taking place with the COVID, you know, with things, life just constantly changing, the crime rate just constantly going up, you know, it's like people, men's hearts have waxed cold, you know, and this is just evidence of men's hearts waxing cold to where they don't care, becoming lovers of themselves, you know, to where, hey, I don't care if I got to take a life. I don't care if I got to rape somebody. I don't care if I got to molest somebody. I don't care if I got to, you know, kill, you know, somebody's kid or whatever. They just don't care because their hearts are cold. They're cold.
Right.
You know, and what else could make somebody do such vicious things and just be so heartless about it? Yes, of course, we know the saying, the devil made me do it. Absolutely. And so the devil is running rapid. You know, he has gotten into the minds and the hearts of people. You know, this COVID has escalated, you know, everything to the 10th power. It's like something has been released into the air, into the universe. It's like they're trying to get a sense of world order, you know, by eliminating so many people. You know, we got millions of people that have gone, you know, and left here, you know, so it's like, okay, y'all trying to decrease the population of the world, you know, I mean, it just really makes you wonder. It really does.
Yeah. It's so true. Like you said, when you look all over the place, it's crazy. We're being smashed from every single direction, Pastor Kim. You're right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. 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 Yes, ma'am.
Oh, all right, ladies. All right, ladies. $30 million for crack pipes. We have gotten so, it has become, you know it's time. You know it's time. $30 million for crack pipes so that they don't inject, but they smoke. Is that not putting the loaded gun in everybody's head? You've already allowed the marijuana, so they have gone buck wild with that. And now we got the story. We talked about this a month or so ago about over in Harlem, where they're, you know, the merchants are now leaving because you've opened up some level of usage haven there, and now People are homeless. But you got $30 million to put into crack pipes. Mm-hmm. Come on, Elder and I, Tisha, I'll let you get started.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that people are homeless, people are hungry, let's invest $30 million into stopping sex trafficking. Like, there are so many other things that we could be investing this money into. But my husband said something when he preached on Sunday to our church that was so powerful. He said the worst kind of darkness is to perceive darkness as light. The idea that you would think that to invest into purchasing crack pipes as a way to get people free from it makes no sense. It is the delusional. It is reprobate. Right? And the Bible speaks about the fact that he will turn us over to a reprobate mind. What is not more reprobate than the idea that if I give you the tools to continue in what you're doing, that this is going to result in you being free from it? How? Like,
absolutely.
Where do you get that from?
Absolutely.
So it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And the rain. And the disruption of our correct way of thinking about things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Come on, Lady Tamika. What's your thought on this insane plan?
So Elder Nakisha brought up, utilizing the resources to stop sexual trafficking. How about using that money in areas that it can really help? You know, someone who is just starting out that, you know, may not necessarily have the resources, you know, trying to help them, you know, or putting it back in our schools. You know, our schools have issues, you know, and they really do need help. Why not utilize that money for something else, you know? And I'm thinking about this thing. Okay, so you're talking about crack. Why not use those resources to help somebody get off of crack? So instead of doing that, you're going to give it to them so that they can continue to kill themselves. So we're not going to allow you to kill yourself by shooting it up, but just go ahead and smoke your life away. Yeah, that makes sense to me. You know, the other thing about that is crack is not like a drug such as methadone. Methadone is the only drug that I know of that you can't just stop. You have to continue taking it. If you have been introduced to methadone, you will continue to have to take it for the length of your life to survive. The day that you don't have it, you'll die. It's not like crack. Crack is something that you can come off of. Yes, there is an issue, and, you know, it takes a moment, and you have to, you know, you have to keep trying to get off of it. But methadone you need for life. Crack is not like that. So I'm just not understanding why you would utilize money to do it that way. So either way, you're going to end your life. Either you're going to do it today, or we're going to keep you here a little longer. You're going to keep on crack a little longer, or you're just, you know, shoot up and die right away. Either way, the end result is still death. You're not providing them any form of life. You're just helping them to progress the cycle.
Absolutely. All right, Pastor Kim. We'll let you at it.
You know, the word says there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but in the end, it leads you to destruction, you know. So we just have to be aware of the devices of the enemy, you know, the enemy that's coming to kill, to steal, and to destroy, you know, because that's his job. And he is always coming up with different strategies of how, you know, to take away and take out, you know, God's people. So, you know, I'm not surprised at all because the spirit of deception is on the uprise, you know, right now. You know, and we have got to, again, it just takes us back to we need Jesus. We need Jesus. You know, take that money, you know, and get some more church programs or some more rehabilitation programs open, some aftercare for the people that had COVID and have after effects from that and, you know, all the education system. It's so many other things that that money can be used for, but to purchase a pipe? What? The devil has lost his mind for real. To be able to see that ain't nothing but the devil, you know? That should make a crackhead up to make them say, you know what? What kind of devil is this that will buy me a pipe?
right. That's gonna help me. Right.
You know, only the devil himself can do such a foolish thing.
Wow.
I love that.
I do too. That is funny. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, it is this, you know, when you look at, I remember, it's funny. I was looking at something on TV a few weeks ago, and when crack hit the street, they had Ronald Reagan. Before I go any further, listen, 347-285-7777. If you've got something that you want to contribute to this conversation, I'm opening up the floor. Come on, listeners. I'm not going to shut you out of this one, you know, because I would love to know what has come to your mind when you hear this wow story. Okay, 347-285-7777. But going back to what I was saying, when the crack epidemic hit, you know, then Ronald Reagan was, you know, he came on and he made, you know, this speech and how they were going to stomp out, you know, this crack and what the war on crack was going to be. And, you know, it went much further than even he could do anything about, because remember, crack was the only drug that they said once you took the first hit, you were messed up. They could not make that claim with any opioid. They couldn't make that claim with any, like, heroin or marijuana or anything else. Even angel dust, they could not make. This was the only drug that once you used it one time, you were already hooked. That's why it became so crazy instantaneously. And here you had one president on, you know, with this commitment to, you know, stop this. There was a war. And here you have this here, how many years later, where you have this next administration saying, we're going to buy you the crack pipe to keep you from injecting. Now, remember, they purchased all these needles at one point because they wanted people to have clean needles. They didn't want you to share because of the HIV and all of this kind of stuff and hepatitis. And now you're up to crack pipe. I have a question, ladies. Who's still smoking crack?
Only people in Lexington.
What did you say?
All the people on 125th Street in Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, in Harlem. They literally created a space for them. It is now legal for them to be there.
No.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Oh my goodness. You know, every time I hear about crack, I just keep saying, who smokes crack still? It's like, you still smoke crack? People still smoke crack? People still make crack? I don't know, for some reason in my brain, it should be extinct. But now you just told me that they made room for them over there to even... Oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is crazy. We do have a comment from our listeners. Wait, here we go. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you, ladies?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Much better. Thank you. Much better. Does someone has a comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We welcome your comment as well.
Okay. I say, for those who have not watched New Jack City, please go and watch it, because this is Nino Brown opening the Carters in New York City, where you are now making room for drug addicts to do what they do. And not only that, this has nothing to do with the existing crackheads. This has everything to do with introducing crack to people who have never smoked it. And everybody keeps thinking it's a game to be on any type of depressant. So those who think weed is nothing, they lacing your weed with everything, and they'll go back to lacing your weed with crack. Or now you thinking, the enemy will have you thinking, well, this high ain't high enough, so now let me go. And since crack is now so easily accessible, don't be surprised if you now got a crack pipe in your mouth instead of a blunt. So the enemy can be very strategic.
Wow.
The enemy can be very strategic as well, because it's the same thing with alcohol. I used to drink, I know. You drink this, oh, this ain't strong enough. Okay, now let me go to that. Oh, this ain't strong enough, now let me just take shots. Okay, this ain't strong enough, now let me start mixing my liquor. It's the same thing. So they keep thinking it's a game if they want, but it's becoming very, very dangerous as the days go on. And it's just sickening. I just had a conversation with someone yesterday, because I was saying, thank God I have not had to ride the subway since the pandemic, since everything initially got shut down back in March of 2020. And I said, I don't know why the powers that be have not shut the homeless people out of the subways. But, of course, you can't just shut them out and not have some place for them to go. So why not take the time and the money to build facilities and buildings and homes for the homeless people? Because slowly but surely you'll have one less handful of homeless people in the tunnels and on the streets. And it was like, oh, no, they can't do that. And now to turn around today and hear that you got money for a crack pipe, excuse me, the homeless people can't live in the crack pipe, okay? They have money to do whatever it is that they want to do. And they made a big mistake for allowing someone like me to see you throw all this money around with stimulus checks and minors getting $1,000 each and all that. You have money to fund whatever it is you want to fund. So it's
right.
It's become extremely reckless, and it's just really sad. And we just have to keep up our young adults and our teens, you know, because unfortunately those who are already on drugs, that's a different type of prayer. But this is really a plan to just get everyone else on board who has yet to really consider doing a drug, where now it's easier to get your hands on it, so it's easier to give in for some people.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a lot of valid points. Thank you so much, Shantice, for sharing your opinion. Do you have, before I let you go, do you have any other comments from any other listeners?
Not as of yet, just a bunch of pretty much saying what I was saying. It's just ridiculous. Like someone, oh wait, I'm sorry. A listener sent in, who was the genius that wanted to think like a drug addict and came up with this? Drug addicts care about their health?
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry.
Who was the genius that wanted to think like a drug addict and came up with this? Do drug addicts really care about their health?
Absolutely. Good point. Good point. Good point, listener. Woo. Thank you so much, Shantice, for sharing your thoughts and expressing the thoughts of the listeners. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, I have one more. Sometimes.
Oh, okay, sure.
A listener sent in, they're not injecting. Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. They're not injecting crack because needles are easier. They're injecting drugs because they want to. So I guess this whole theory of, we're going to give you the crack pipe so that you don't inject. Those who, everyone chooses their drug. So if I choose to shoot up heroin, it's because that's my choice of drug, not because it's safer.
Right.
Quote, unquote, like safe drug.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
No, it makes sense. It makes every bit of sense because that was part of my thought, but I couldn't flush it out. Thank you so much, Shantice. Thank you so much, listeners.
You're welcome.
Very valid points. You know, I couldn't flush that thought out, and now that the listener has said it, it makes a lot of sense. Yes, you don't pick your drug based on how, you know, it's used necessarily. You just choose your drug based on the effect it's going to have. And, you know, yes, we do know that, you know, such as heroin, some take it through the nose, some take it through the needle. Again, it's how they feel affects them. And, you know, this is stuff that you really have to really think about. You know, it's we've all said things that this money, this $30 million, could be used for. You know, listen, I knew they had money when everybody could get money for pandemic. You were giving people that didn't even have an address money. I knew you had money, but when you came up with all that money for everybody to get money, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And see, you know what? I want to throw this to you. I want to throw this out to you ladies. Could this have also been a ploy to give everybody money to then sell you on whatever else they had coming behind it? Do you understand what I'm saying, Lady Tamika? What's your thought on that?
You know, so there's the sad part about it is there can be a gimmick for whatever. You're right, you know. This is just the beginning, you know, of other things that are to come. And, I mean, this world is headed, it's like a train wreck because there's so many different things that are out there that you could utilize to help someone. But it's easier to just, oh, well, you know, you're already doing it. Go ahead and, you know, continue where you are. What comes to the principles of the Bible, you know, you can clearly see that they're not looking at that. You know, just like, you know, we heard about the law that says that you can carry a gun as long as you don't hurt anybody with it. You know, these things are just, it's just getting worse. It's going from bad to worse.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Kim, you know, I thought about how they just produced all this money. They went and made up all this money to give to each and every person that existed. They even, you know, they even were talking about the illegals getting money and things like this. And my thought was, you know, could you have done this so that when you had all these other plans, people would be okay with it? Because you know what? You gave me money back in the day. You know, I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it, but you gave it to me. And now this is the sucker way of saying, you know, this is the way to sucker up everybody. Sucker, pull them in, draw them in. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, we just don't know what is going on, especially in the governmental system, you know, because it's so, you know, this is wickedness in high places, you know?
Right.
That's exactly what it is. It's wickedness in high places. Ever since Donald Trump, you know, left office or while he was in office, all of this stuff, if you think back, this is where a lot of it stimulated from and where it got started. You know, even when before he got out of office, once he found out that he wasn't going to be president no more, now all of a sudden you done went over to these foreign countries and stuff, and now all of a sudden this thing called COVID-19 arrived. So we just don't know. You know, and then, you know, they give money. You know, they need to, you know, again, you know, going back to the world order, the sensory, you know, just getting a better tally on, you know, how many people are in the world. We are in a time of uncertainty where we really don't know anything except for that God holds our future in his hand and that he is in control.
Absolutely, absolutely, Pastor Kim. Elder Natisha, you know, could this have been, you know, this pandemic money, could this have been a way that, let's put it in this term, the enemy glazed the world and now was able to use this to draw in, you know, your okays and, oh, that's not so bad, and, oh, you know, we can live with this. You follow what I'm saying? What do you think about that?
But yeah, absolutely. That the enemy is just as sly and slick as he was at the beginning of time. Genesis describes the spirit of the enemy as a serpent, as a snake, one who slithers, who slides, who creeps into crevices. And so I don't think that it is strange to see and to view the way that evilness and wickedness is slithering into what was once considered, right, a tight spot. It was clear to us that we did not want drugs to be a part of our communities. It was clear that the worst thing that could happen to a father, a mother, a brother, or a sister was that they would get hooked on drugs. But now,
right,
the enemy has slithered into the crack and has made it to where we have normalized the usage to seeing a mother, to seeing a father. We look at it now and we don't see it. We walk right past it and it has no effect on us. And I think that that is the worst thing that is happening, is that the respect for life has diminished.
Right.
The enemy
right.
has slithered right. into our society, into our world, and has caused us to have no regard at all whatsoever for the beauty and the fragility of life itself. Life now has
absolutely.
No value. That's why we can offer a crack pipe to the person whose life is being destroyed, a family. For every person that is out there is a family represented. And we don't see that in looking at the person. We don't recognize that there is a child who is fatherless because her father is out there strung on crack, that there is a daughter who is motherless because it's her mother that is out there strung on crack. And we're going to say, yeah, here's a pipe so that you can continue to do that. Not only is her life destroyed, but the life of her family, his family, are impacted by this. This is why we can rape without problem. This is why we can kill
right.
without problem.
Right.
This is why we can run
right.
down the street aimlessly shooting without a problem, because there is no regard for life. That is
absolutely
the enemy. Absolutely the enemy. The Bible tells us that God took so much pride in the preparation of life that he created us from the dust, and then he breathed himself into us to give us life. So what God has deemed one of the most important and valuable gifts that he has given us in that of our breath, the enemy tricks us to say that that means nothing.
Yep, absolutely. Woo, absolutely, absolutely. You know, this is again an indication of where it's going, where we've come from, and where we're going. And to think we're just in the middle. Ooh, we're just in the middle. Ah, all right, ladies, I want to hit our conversation, our topic today. And we're talking about, and this is even, you know, more of a reason why, you know, it's funny because now I really see how this can benefit what we just got finished talking about, all of these particular conversations that we've had. And we're talking about ways that we can really share our faith at work. You know, we're at work, we spend more time at work than we spend anywhere else during the day. And, you know, it's imperative that, you know, the Lord is shared, you know, on our job. And we're just going to discuss a few ways and think about some of the stuff that, you know, we have functioning addicts and all of these people, again, who are coming to work with, you know, is your coworker the one who can't see their child because of a vaccination status, or, you know, can't get a procedure done physically because of vaccination status? And, you know, they say that, you know, as we interact with our coworkers, we really need to truly listen and show them that there is a spirit of godly care coming from us. And I'll start with you, Pastor Kim. That's the way we are supposed to interact with and share our faith at work.
Absolutely, I agree. You know, we're supposed to be a light in a dark world. You know, we're supposed to let our light so shine that men can see our good works and our Father could be glorified in heaven. And that's, you're right, you know, on our job, that's good ground for us to be able to, you know, plant seeds, you know, by being able to encourage the one that we work with. You know, I think about how when I was working at Focus Hope, the person that I was working with in IS that was training me to become an information systems voice communication technician, you know, he every single day, because he was a man of God, you know, he was on an assignment. He understood the assignment, and we have to understand our assignment, you know, that our life is not our own. You know, we're supposed to be going out into the highways and the byways, compelling, you know, people to come in. And that's what he did every day. He was the bait that drew me to God of Oshanda. He was the bait that was encouraging me in the word of God. He was telling me what thus said the Lord. He was, you know, telling me, you know, about the things of God that intrigued me in such a way that it wanted me to find out more about his God that he was serving. And so that's what we should be doing. We should be about our Father's business, that we got to work while it's day, because when it's night, no man can work. The hour is getting late. We don't have time to be shuffling and jabbing and being carnal-minded. At any given time, we should have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying and who God wants us to minister to, because there are people out there that are waiting on us because we are the voice.
Amen, amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Elder Nitesha, mm-hmm. The first thing that they're saying is, you know, when we're interacting with our coworkers, that we need to be asking sincere questions and truly listening to what they have to say and showing a level of godly care.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, while, and there are strategic ways to do that, you know, as a leader, one of the things, you know, that I do is in going into one-on-one meetings with my staff, is I start the meeting not jumping into business, but how are you? And being able to offer words of encouragement. And I love that God creates opportunities for those things to happen, right? And they happen through this morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, one of my staff members just said, you know, I'm sorry, I have to take PTO today, you know, for a very personal family situation. And I sent her a prayer. Right now, this is not, I don't, I have no, like, it is not up, I don't care whether or not you ascribe to this or subscribe to faith,
right,
and prayer,
right,
and things,
right,
of that nature. I did what I know to do. I did what,
right,
I know worked,
right.
Right? And I think those are some of the ways. I just wanted to give a practical example of ways that God creates opportunities and spaces for us to be light in the midst of darkness, which is what we're supposed to do. And we should seize those moments, not just, you know, carefully walk through it. I know so many people that say, well, my place of business is not a place for me to get into religion and church. This is not about religion. This is about me,
right,
simply saying, based on who I am, I'm a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, I believe in prayer. And so when I say praying for you and your family, you respect it. You understand it. And I believe,
right,
that in making those small gestures, it is a seed that is planted, which is what we're called to do. We're just called to plant seeds. And if all you have to do is plant the seed, and God will water the rest.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, you know, they say ask sincere questions and truly listen. And that's how we show godly care. What's your word?
That is so true. There are cues out there everywhere you look if you're using or utilizing your spiritual ear and your spiritual eyes. Even in a virtual world, if you're really tuned in, you can hear where there is a need for God. And, you know, yes, okay, there are some workplaces where you can't always say Jesus, 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 you know. However, you can get your word across, and God will make it so clear that a person who's never heard his name will actually feel the difference and know the genuineness of you and realize that God is in the place and recognize it.
you know, and actually understand what you're saying. You know, I've been in many workplaces where I can't necessarily say Jesus, but you hear me clearly. The spirit within you attaches to what I'm saying, and it automatically pulls you from where you are to another place. You know, we're in a setting where, you know, COVID is rampant, you know, and so people want to hear something good. You know, we're just talking about, you know, crime left and right and, you know, front and back, you know, fires and all types of stuff. People are waiting and desiring to hear good things. And so if you can plant that seed and somebody else water and somebody else watch it and somebody else nurture it, then we've all done a job. And in the midst of getting paid for what we do, we're also getting acknowledged by God for the task and the things that we are doing and being ready and accessible and available to those that you come in contact with in the workplace and without.
Amen, 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 amen. You know, we're talking about ways to share your faith with your coworkers. And the next suggestion is that you pray before you leave home, preparing you to share God with your coworkers. Elder Nitisha.
Absolutely. Being sensitive. I mean, my prayer is always, Father, make me sensitive. Help me to not be distracted by my goals, my issues, my problems, my mission, my grind, you know, my climb, you know, to where it is I'm trying to get to. Help me to not be so distracted by those things that I miss opportunities to share, you know, to share your goodness and to reveal your light. And so I absolutely think that praying and preparing before going to work helps us to kind of be sensitive in the spirit for those moments and opportunities.
All right. Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, pray before you leave home, preparing you to share God with your coworkers.
I feel like leaving your home without prayer is kind of like going to a basketball game and you have no ball. You know, you don't have the tools that are necessary for you to be able to get the task done. And it's important because some signs are not blatant. Some signs are very subtle. You know, you have an individual who you're working with and they just say, oh, forget it. And in actuality, not really saying forget that moment. They might be saying forget life. And because you're so busy doing your normal thing, you don't hear the cue. And it's important to be ready, to be prepared. God, let me not be focused on other things. You know, let me be able to be sensitive to someone who needs an ear. You know, that one moment, you know, where you say, hey, how you doing this morning? Could be the turnaround, because that individual hasn't had a family member, a neighbor, a relative, or a friend to look at them and say, hey, how you doing? And literally sit and wait to hear what their response is. It's so crucial in this day and time. People are leaving this world, whether they it's their expiration or they're taking themselves out. And if we can interrupt that taking out by just saying, I'm concerned about you, I'm thinking about you, you know, you crossed my mind, it can change somebody's entire life. That 1 second can turn them completely around.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, we're talking about praying before you even leave the house to prepare you to share God with all your coworkers.
Amen. I agree. You know that prayer is essential. The Bible tells us that we ought to pray without ceasing, you know, and that we, a man need to always pray. So in prayer in the morning before you even leave home, you're setting the tone in your day. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you see that God has blessed you to inhale and exhale, you know, he has blessed you to wake up. You know, you want to pray and ask God to just bless your going in, bless your coming out, bless you in the city and in the field, you know, and to encamp his angels around and about us and just give us an ear to hear what he is saying, you know, so that we can be spirit-led in everything that we do throughout the day, you know, because like my sister said, you know, it's a dying world out there. There are people that need us, and we are the voice. You know, we are the instruments, you know, and we want to be used of God. You know, he is the we are the clay and he is the potter, you know. We want him to mold and make us, you know, to be the women and men, the God that he is calling for us to be in these last and evil days. So, again, you know, we have it has to be such an urgency that at any given time, Lord, we're constantly just praying in our spirit. You know, even though we're in our workplace, you know, Lord, who can I minister to today? Who can I give a word to? Lord, who can I pray for today? You know, yes, we have to be balanced and we have to use wisdom because he that win his souls has to be wise. But in that same token, you know, we should be so, have such a desire, you know, to do the will of our Father. And God will. He will give us the desires of our heart. When we have a desire to pray for someone, to just be able to be used of him in any way that we can, God makes that possible for us.
Amen, amen, amen. Here's one that I really like. You know, we've talked about, you know, listening and showing godly care, you know, by asking people, you know, what's going on? We're talking about praying before leaving the home to prepare us, you know, to be able to witness and share God's love. But here's one I really like that they mention, and they say emphasize the importance of God's love by service of charitable actions. Come on, Lady Tamika, what you got?
And charitable actions could be something as big as providing, you know, something financial. And charitable actions could be something simple, you know, leaving a little cute note, a little post-it note on someone's desk. Excuse me. It doesn't take a whole lot, but it could put a smile on a person's day. You don't know, you honestly have no idea what people go through from one day to the next day. And something as minor as, hey, how you doing? You know, or just leaving a little note could change somebody's disposition. Sometimes in interactions when we're communicating with people, you know, you hear something that doesn't necessarily sound just right. And rephrasing or putting that thought into a different direction helps them refocus. You know, when I said such and such, you know, I didn't think about it, but it wasn't really right. And I thank you so much for, you know, speaking to me about it, because now I have a different, I have a different direction. I have a different thought about that thing that I was going through. It can really bless someone's life.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, we're talking about emphasizing the importance of God's love by charitable actions, by service.
Absolutely. When I think about doing charitable things, you know, you think about charity, which is love, you know, and love is kind, you know, love is giving, you know, love is an action word, and we can do a lot of things in our actions as women and men of God, you know, by giving. The Bible tells us when we give, he'll give it back to us, pressed down, shake it together, and run it over. And God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I was just thinking about it when you posed the question. You know, I had gotten these blouses that were on the clearance rack, and I had two of like the same one, and I thought about one of my coworkers, and I put it in the bag this morning to bring it to work to give to her, you know, just, you know, as you know, a charitable thought that I had to give, you know, to my coworker. I grab a couple extra bottles of water to give to the other coworker that I work with. You know, so we should always have a mind and a heart to give, because it all started off with God giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I feel like doing charitable things is showing acts of love. And when it's down on the inside of you, when you love God, you love to give.
Amen, amen, amen. Elder Nitisha, you know, we can talk about God, you know, and we can pray for them, but, you know, actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity for us to actually show the character of God instead of just always
talking about the goodness of God, we can show the goodness of God and what it feels like for God to be mindful of us, right? That's the reason why we love him so much, is because he's mindful of us. And how do we know that he's mindful of us? It's because of the way that he shows up for us. It's the way that he allows people to show up for us. I remember, you know, as a young mother, many of days not having enough. And it was nothing more precious than the church mothers who at offering time would walk around the offering and they would put one hand in the bucket and then place a little something in my hand. And you know how they would give the handshake, the holy handshake. And,
right,
you know,
right.
It would be a blessing in, you know, for me. And so that is, there was nothing more powerful than that, knowing that God cared enough about me to see me and to touch someone's heart to do something nice for me and to do something kind. And so that is the impact of that. When you have a coworker, you have a neighbor or someone, you never know how much closer you can draw them to God just by simply being mindful and through charitable giving. It shows them that whatever their private prayers are, that God is answering those private prayers through you, that the moments that they're sitting saying that they feel so alone, they feel unseen, or they feel forgotten, or they have a need, and then you show up and say, hey, sis, you were on my heart, got this for you, or hey, coworker, this morning I'm just sending my, you know, everybody a cup of coffee on me. It may seem small. It may only be about $5. We're not talking about it having to be this huge blessing, but the, even $5 to say, hey, here's $5. Go treat yourself to a cup of coffee. That act of kindness can soften the heart so that God can speak to them in spaces and places that he's been desiring to speak to them about, but their hearts have been closed because of what they've been dealing with, what they've been going through. So that's the power of it. It's the power of creating opportunity to show the character of God and create opportunities for God to minister through your act of kindness.
Amen, amen, amen. I want to go through one more. Because we still have more, and we're going to, God spares, continue this conversation next week, because it's so apropos to, just like I said, even today's conversation. They said join or either start a lunchtime Bible study. Pastor Kim.
Wow, so funny that you said that. We had a Bible study at lunchtime when we were Focus Open. We were, we didn't have Bible study here, but we did have prayer in the morning. We were doing it before we just left on the break. But because of COVID, of course, you know, everybody is trying to use wisdom. And I would so love to have a Bible study. But like I said, you know, everybody is trying to be safe and, you know, use godly wisdom or what have you. But that would be such a blessing if we could, because we want to incorporate the word of God every chance that we get, you know. But even if we can't, you know, go to that degree to come all together, you know, even if we could just expound on the daily devotional scripture for the day and just talk about what we get out of that, I feel like that would be a sense of Bible study, and I think that would be a wonderful idea.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. That's a good spin as an alternative to the Bible study, just to take that, you know, for those who get those devotional verses, because once you hear what it means to someone else, it's a study, a study of what this verse means and what you get out of it, and it could be a really good blessing. Because, listen, you're going to stand around and talk anyway, so you might as well get that verse
Amen.
Out, Pastor Kim. Very good, very good.
That's right.
Elder Knight, teach, huh? I'm sorry.
No, I was saying amen. I agree.
All right. That's, I like that. I like that spin. I like that spin. Just get that devotional Bible Bible verse out and get the chatting at that water cooler. Y'all going to talk anyway. I don't care how safe you try to be. You're going to chat anyhow.
Right.
You're going to talk about somebody's kid. You're going to talk about somebody who skirt too short. You're going to talk about something. So talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Elder Nakisha, we're talking about, you know, either joining or starting that lunchtime Bible study. Listen, lunchtime is your time. You ain't on the company's time.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know what? I want to give options for people who are working virtually, because now a lot of people are, you know, working virtually. And so, you know, what that can look like, you can still have that water cooler, you know, time with your team. By just simply setting it on your calendar and sending a calendar invite to all of your teammates, just to be able to come together virtually and, you know, and be able to encourage one another and to be able to have prayer, you know, for those who, you know, would be interested in joining. One of the things that I do with my team is, you know, part of what my job is staff development. So I send out, like, information and quotes and readings about leadership, but I tend to send out quotes and information about leadership from a biblical perspective. So it's still staff development, but it also gives them insight into the Word of God, the character of God, but it also develops them from a leadership perspective. In how to approach their work, how to approach their job. So that's also like just some of the ways that we can also implement as part of, you know, what we do as managers, directors, what we do to help our staff, because part of what we're there to do is not only to encourage them to do the job, but what do they aspire to do? Where do they aspire to go within the organization? And so once we learn what their aspirations are within the organization, then you want to try to meet them with leadership skills and tactics and techniques to get them to that next place. And I think the Bible is an amazing resource on how we to conduct ourselves in a way that opens doors for us and takes us to those higher positions that we want to go within our workspaces.
Amen, amen, amen. I like that, I like that, I like that. Suggestion number two, everybody. Come on, Lady Tamika, how are we closing this down to make sure that you somehow spend part of your day in a Bible study with your coworkers?
It is important to leave room for God. He should be the foremost. But for some individuals, he may not necessarily be. And, you know, there are plenty of places where you can sprinkle a little Jesus on that, you know, in your team, especially if you're in a virtual world. In your team, you can always, you know, use a quote, good morning, have a good day, you know, the sun is shining, I'm hoping that your disposition is the same. You know, there's always things that you can say that if people are really genuinely listening, they hear Jesus, you know. And here's the other thing, you know, if you're willing to do so, you know, maybe a half an hour, 10 minutes, 45 minutes prior to the shift, you know, why not send out a message to, you know, a lot of us in the virtual world have personal phone numbers or personal emails of individuals that we work with. And so because we are, a lot of us are in virtual worlds, you can send a Zoom in the middle, you know, in the morning before you start or in the evening after work. A lot of us virtually don't have the same lunch hours. So sometimes you have to go the extra mile. And so that's why I say before shift or after shift, so that you can meet. You know, the thing about it is a lot of chatter goes on during those hours. So why not alleviate chatter and the, you know, all the bad things, if you think about it, the things that we can do that are bad happen in the middle of the day. That, you know, overeating that causes you to sleep, you know, that distraction, you know, that, oh, I'm bored, and, you know, in the middle of, you know, a meeting, you fall asleep. Why not utilize that time with the Word, so that
the second portion of the day, you have that extra push to help you throughout the end of the day.
Amen. Amen. Amen, ladies. You've done a fantastic job today relaying the word of God, and I pray that you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. We've come to the time of our Wow Wednesday morning where we have a word from our Pastor Charlene, Faith Over Fear. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph, ladies and listeners. How are you today, my love?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you? Ladies and listeners, we got a new phrase. It's good to hear you this morning. You know, we're talking about different ways to, you know, deal with our coworkers and share our faith with them. You know, we love to talk and chatter. And I came across one that I thought was perfect for Faith Over Fear, and it says, refuse to downplay the importance of your faith. So I thought this was a perfect segue to get into that faith over fear, you know, moment when it comes to sharing our faith with our coworkers. What you got for us this morning, Pastor Charlotte?
And it's funny that you said that because I thought of do not be fearful not to show God through you. And because a lot of times I know on the job, they don't want you to speak about Jesus. They don't want you, they really don't want you to have the Bible and stuff out in certain places. So because somebody will have something to say and then they say you're offending someone else. But when I was working, I didn't allow that to scare me of that. I wouldn't say a verse of scripture, like go to Romans so-and-so, but I would just talk it in conversation. What I also, you know, didn't want them to do was to be afraid of speaking about the Lord. So I had found people that were scared to talk about Jesus. And then what we started to do was I said, but why would you take away who you believe in? We talk about our husbands. We talk about our children. You know, we talk, like you said, we talk about that girl with the little skirt and all of that. And we talk it loud, but we don't encounter with people who don't know Christ. So we started to talk about Christ. They wanted to do a book club. And I said, well, that sounds real good, but why can't we do the book of the Bible? We'll do a book of something else. So that was another way that was a door that was open that you can do, and where that people will get the same, you know, scriptures or whatever. You can read it at home, and when we come to talk about it. When you do a book club, right, that's what they do. So, you know, you can't be fearful of who you believe in, because if you don't stand for God, then what you going to do? You know what I mean? We got to get to the place of being bold, being able to be confident, being able to stand on his word. Because if we have fear, you know, first of all, God don't give us the spirit of fear. He gives us the spirit of love, power, and sound mind. So therefore, he equipped us wherever we go into the enemy's camp. He equipped us for us to be able to speak his word. All we got to do is ask him, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know how they're going to react. But if you speak through me, oh God, all I'm going to do is open my mouth and allow you to say what you have to say. And I know in confidence that you are with me. So therefore, that will knock the fear out where you were able to stand on his faith and be able to say, you know what, let's get together and let's be able to have a Bible study. Let's be able to do this. We can't do it maybe on the floor, but it can start off in the locker room. And we can continue our conversation on the floor as we're working, as we'll be able, because somebody who don't know is going to be listening, because people listen to people's conversation, and it might toot up somebody's ear, amen, for them to be able to come into the conversation. Who are y'all talking about? There's an opportunity right there to tell them who you're talking about, my Lord and Savior, the person who saved me, the person that healed me. You know what? I heard that the doctors did such and such and such. That'll open up a door right there. I want to be able to get this promotion in the job. That'll open up a door right there. Besides of, you know, showing them we got to walk. You know, somebody has said about the light so shining you. And we can't walk around like we've been sucking on lemons and, you know, God ain't good, doing nothing for us and we feel in some kind of way. No, show them what God has done in spite of I'm going through this, 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 and this. And that's your opportunity to be able to minister to them, to be able to talk to them where they will understand and be able and give them just enough where they get hungry, where they want to come back and talk some more. So we got to just get to that place of just having that boldness and being able to stand up for God. And don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Just be able to speak his word. He gives us that power. He gives us that authority to walk in and know that who you are and whose you are and let them know who they are in God and that God can turn it around. God is able to give them the strength. God is for them to be able to show them when you don't have something, how he has blessed you by our testimonies. Is how we be able to draw people in. So we just got to continue to tell our testimonies, continue to walk in pride of who we walking for. We are ambassadors for the Lord. So we got to be able to walk with our head up and be able to show not just in the job, you know, on the job, outside the job, when they're able to call, here's my number. When you need to talk to somebody, call me. It doesn't matter what time it is. Be able to be available just like Christ is available to us and be able to be available to that person and where they'll be able to know that, you know what, I have found a friend and where I'm able to call on this person. And I didn't think that they really liked me because a lot of times that's what people will say. Oh, I didn't really think that, you know, that person would be interested in helping me, showing me or whatever, and be able to show your gift and be able to help them through their gift. And that's what I think about it. Faith over fear on today. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for sharing your faith at work. All right. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
You do the same.
Thank you. All right. Let's get to this benediction. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's Romans 8, 38 and 39. You know, ladies are crafty. And, you know, my mother used to love Fridays. She loved me. But ladies are crafty and very strategic. And I listened as each of them, you know, spoke about, you know, how to share, you know, during, you know, share our faith at the workplace. But this particular one we ended with you know, that lunchtime Bible study. And we came up with, you know, that devotional Bible study, you know, if we can't really get down to the devotional Bible verse, if we really can't get deep down and dirty into a Bible study, we talked about virtual, you know, do it virtually, you know, how about the book club, you know, and, you know, it's amazing that, you know, you ladies came up, each of you came up with a different way of sharing, you know, how we can, you know, get that Bible study in. And, you know, one of the things I thought about was that one-to-one Bible chat, that Bible study, you know, and when we listen, you know, people are always drawn to us. God will always send people to us, you know, on the job or in, you know, our different areas of our life, because he wants to use us. And I thought about the fact that, you know, somebody's going to talk to us and they're going to have a complaint. Somebody, whether it's a complaint about the job, somebody's going to, you know, talk to us and they got marital issues or relationship problems or something that's going on with your child. And I thought about how many times we are invited to have that Bible study chat, you know, and just be able to, you know, say, well, you know what, there's a verse that addresses this particular thing. Go home and read it, and, you know, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Or, you know, what do you think about this particular Bible study? You know, just showing that, you know, there's something in that Bible that addresses every part of our life. And there's nothing that's in that Bible, I mean, that we go through in life that is not in the Word of God. I also thought about, you know, so when Pastor Charlene was talking, I also thought about, you know, I remember, you know, as an HR manager, you know, they don't want you to, you know, some places don't want you to share, you know, Bible talk, you know, during work hours. And as she was speaking, I thought about how many times, you know, you can really get that done, you know, where they cannot tell you you can't. And think about it, you know, like she said, when you're doing that chatter, you know, when you're talking and you talk about, you know what the Lord brought me out of, or, you know, do you know what the Lord gave me? Or do you know what the Lord did for me, you know, during this particular situation? They can't stop you from talking about it. It's because it's not a formal anything. You allow us to speak, but you cannot forbid me to tell another person my personal experience. And I thought about how many times I've been in a conversation and some person who was, as they say, ear hustling, or they overheard your conversation, was able to come back and say, you know what, I never thought about God like that, or, you know, I thought about God, but not in, you know, in that manner, or, you know what God did for me, and I never thought about it that way. It's infectious. It's contagious. And when we're talking about sharing our faith at work, this is a big thing. This is a lot larger than we have even considered. So, again, take that devotional Bible verse that you get and talk about it. Share it with someone at work. Do that virtual thing like Elder Nitesha and Lady Tamika brought up, you know, because we can. You know, there's ways you can get that done virtually, if you're not, you know, that one-to-one or that group setting thing. Think, email a Bible verse. You know, ask a person for their personal email. People check emails and stuff all the time. Ask people for their text number. People text all the time. You know, again, like Pastor Charlotte said, get that book club, you know, version together. You know, go home and read a verse and come back the next day and we're going to talk about this thing. You know, again, that one-to-one Bible chat, that Bible study chat, you know, think about someone who has, you know, who's going through something. And now you can take that Bible verse and use it and target it to what they're going through. Come on, these ladies have given you some real good, sound advice and suggestions. Make sure you use it to share your faith at work. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my ladies of today for just really, really bringing to the forefront some real good thoughts and suggestions as to how to move and navigate through your day, not only by yourself, but with your co-workers. And we thank you all who listened, who shared your thoughts with us today. And we just give God thanks for you being a part of our morning. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where is Therapeutic Thursday? I love you.